Welcome to Advancing Our Church, a podcast about Catholic stewardship, leadership, and advancement. I'm Jim Friend, and I'm so grateful you decided to join us on this episode. We have a great conversation planned for you today with Father Alan Hoffa. But before we get started, if you like our content, I hope you're going to subscribe and share our podcast with others. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us wherever you download your favorite podcast. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. And for more information about our show, please visit us at advancingourchurch.com. I'm so pleased to welcome Father Alan Hoffa back to Advancing Our Church. Father Hoffa, I think we had you on the podcast. In fact, I know I did during the pandemic and the shutdown. It's so great to have you back with us today.
It is great to be back, Jim. Thank you so much for having me today.
I'm going to provide just a little introduction to Father before we get started with our conversation. Father Hoffa is on the leadership team for Integrity Restored, which is our topic today. Integrity Restored is a mission to help restore the integrity of individuals, spouses, and families that have been affected by pornography and pornography addiction. The organization provides education, training, encouragement, and resources to break free from pornography, heal relationships, and to assist parents in preventing and responding to pornography exposure, which is devastating the lives of families. Father Alan Hoffa was trained for the priesthood at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary in Philadelphia. He holds a BA in philosophy and a Master of Divinity. He was ordained a priest in the Diocese of Allentown on June 6, 2009. During Father Hoffa's priestly ministry, he has served in a number of ministries, including parochial vicar, high school chaplain, Catholic college chaplain at Lehigh University, director of the Diocesan Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministries in the Diocese of Allentown. He's been a Catholic youth event speaker and a worship leader and a pastor, and he is currently serving as pastor of Holy Guardian Angels Parish in Reading, Pennsylvania. Father, it's great to have you back on the show. You've obviously, as we talked a little bit before we got started, you've been extremely busy, and it's so great to see you doing so well in all you're doing. But let's focus today. We're going to talk a little bit about Integrity Restored, which I first caught wind of when I saw that you were doing a parish mission out in Texas because of our connection on Facebook. Why don't we start first with how did you get involved with Integrity Restored? What led you to that mission, that ministry?
So God's providence, I've always said, God blesses the work. And, for all of the different aspects of what you cover here on Advancing Our Church, I think everybody can look back on when things have gone right. And when the Lord blesses the work, then it's a sure shot. And what happened was when I was at Allentown Center Catholic High School in campus ministry, we had gotten stewardship of Mission of Faith. And one of their lead evangelists, Rob Longo, he was coming to the school, I think for 2 years. I think it was the 14-15 and 15-16 school year. So we got to know one another. He would come in and do First Friday devotions with our students in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. It was going really well. And I didn't know yet, but towards the end of my end of the 2015-16 school year, I would be coming to my last year at Central Catholic. And he happened to mention to me in the early spring, he said, "We're doing this thing called Integrity Restored. Would you like to be involved?" And I said, "What's Integrity Restored?" He says, "We're going and we're taking the best in the knowledge of the church regarding this issue of pornography and those who are working in the psychological and neurobiological field, and we're attacking the issue of porn straight on." And it was very timely because as a high school chaplain, I was dealing with all different types of situations with young people, with the misuse of their gift of human sexuality and, you know, between things like sexting and the use of pornography. And one of the situations that I look back on that was most gut-wrenching for me, I've always taken as a priest, I'll be 15 years ordained this coming June. And one of the things I've always taken seriously was spiritual fatherhood. And when one of my kids hurt, I hurt. And when one of my kids is used, my heart breaks. And one of my students made a poor choice with a video. And what wound up happening was it wasn't just shared amongst a couple people in a text message. It was actually posted to an anonymous download site for images and videos that of a pornographic nature. And it made me sick. And so having that on my mind and having dealt with this and seeing the struggles of the young, as soon as Rob and the folks over at Stewardship and Mission of Faith told me about Integrity Restored, I was all in. and wound up getting training from a colleague of mine, Father Sean Kilcawley, who I had actually known. He's from the Diocese of Lincoln, Nebraska, and we had been a few years apart in the seminary. And Dr. Todd Bowman, Dr. Peter Kloponis, who I work closely with now, and our executive director, Jim O'Day. It's just been an incredible, incredible journey over the course of the last 8 years. And someone that we both know, Jim, who has been a large part of me being able to do this, has been our bishop, Bishop Alfred Schlert, a man of courage. Whenever I go out, I can never praise him enough, thank him enough for his willingness to allow some of my priestly ministry to be devoted to Integrity Restored. And also his leadership just in and outside of the diocese on this issue, because there are times where we go out and there are priests and bishops who won't touch this issue with a 10-foot pole. But from day one, Bishop Schlert has been all on this and about this. And, you know, he, as a caring shepherd who cares for his flock, doesn't want anyone to be lost to this evil. And so when this opportunity came up, he was all on board, and I'm very thankful to him.
He's a very supportive bishop, and I, as a my former boss when I worked in the diocese, and now as I'm in formation for the diaconate program, it's wonderful to have him as our shepherd, and not surprising either to see how he has used your gifts in so many ways over the last 15 years in your priesthood. And I saw that also one of our priests. Our current priest, Bishop Ronald Gaynor, is also on the team. He's a Diocese of Allentown son, Bishop of the Diocese of Harrisburg, I believe. How did Integrity Restored get started?
So I think David Abel is the sort of founder of Stewardship and Mission of Faith, and they're located out in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. And so David just had this beautiful zeal. There's the Star Barn out there. We've gathered for our stewardship conferences there. And there's a number of different people that he's linked up with as Stewardship and Mission of Faith has grown. A lot of people see, for instance, those racks that are in the vestibules of their churches with different CDs and pamphlets and books to be able to grow in their faith. But then there's Fathers of St. Joseph, and there's Integrity Restored, and a number of other sort of ministries under the umbrella of the Stewardship and Mission of Faith. But it all comes down to David Abel and his vision for the ability to evangelize the church. And he has his own personal transformation and conversion and being on fire for the Lord. He just wants to share that with others. And he is so generous in doing so and supporting the mission of Stewardship and Mission of Faith. And by extension, we at Integrity Restored.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Father, I, as I mentioned before, you were out in Texas just a week or two ago giving a mission on this topic of pornography. What was that like, and how is it typically received in the parish? Because that's a kind of an interesting, as you were saying before, it's not a classroom format. It's a spiritual retreat and formation opportunity. How do folks receive that in that light?
You know, it's interesting. I really love the parish of St. Patrick's, and they're in the northeast corner of the Metroplex down in Dallas, Texas. And a really neat setup that they have there. They have their an evangelization ministry is called Life Stage Ministry. And I thought that was really neat because it really speaks to a cradle to grave mentality in terms of evangelization within the context of the parish. And their director down there of evangelization, Amy Vitek, she was talking to her pastor, and they came upon the fact of, yeah, as a priest, you're hearing a lot about pornography. It's frequently confessed in confession. And so he said to her, as they were talking about, you know, they've gotten names in there. Scott Hahn was there at their parish a few years ago. Father Leo Padlihung was there, I think, last year. And so they're always looking to bring in a name that's going to be able to really get into an issue and evangelize and bring truth to the parish. And so he said to her, I need someone who's going to come and talk about this reality of pornography and hit the nail on the head. And she went and contacted us at Integrity Restored, and the rest was history, and came down. And again, their model is that whoever's speaking, they're going to preach all the masses over the weekend to be able to get people ready for the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights of their mission. And one of the neat things was, especially with that, is there's a lot of people who have preconceived notions about this issue of pornography. For a lot of people, I would say, who are 50 and above, pornography is, you know, a Playboy under, you know, under the old man's toolbox out in the shed, you know, maybe a video here or there, you know, adult bookstores and stuff like that. But then for those of us who are under 50, you know, our childhood was inundated with the boom of the internet and the accessibility of pornography. And so you come into a parish, and depending on the dynamic and stuff that they've already done, you have people who are at all stages of understanding. That's not to say that someone who's 50 and above can't understand about this issue, because they're affected too about it. But it's just the way in which people think, does it or does it not affect me? And there were a number of people who were coming out after the masses on the weekend that said, you know, I wasn't going to come to this because I didn't think it applied to me. You changed my mind. And they came back on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And like you said, we handled it from, it wasn't classroom, it was a spiritualist perspective, because we have a number of different sort of patron saints. But at Integrity Restored, we use for this ministry the three archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. And we look at it from the perspective of, this is a battle against evil. So that's where we invoke Michael. This is something that people need healing from. So that's where we invoke Raphael. And it's also something that we have a message of good news and of hope, and we need to share that. And that's where we invoke Gabriel. So each of the nights, I had a different talk title, and I actually used that sort of footprint of the three archangels to be able to go into, in a Lenten context, the reality. We talked a lot about truth on the first night and and all the statistics and the reality of this. And I did that in the context of looking at the scripture passage of Jesus being tempted in the desert. And then we moved over the second night to talk about healing and how the church isn't just there to say, you know, this is something that's wrong, but the church is also invested in the healing process. And we used the story of the woman caught in adultery in Jesus's place and his ministry to her, and talked about the archangel Raphael. And then the last night we looked at the prodigal son, and we used the proclamation of good news and who we are as beloved sons and daughters of the Father to be able to encourage everyone that, guess what? Every single person out there in the world is either directly or indirectly affected by pornography being so rampant and accessible. And so we want people to go and tell that good news. And it was the good news that the father kept trying to give to his son, that he wasn't just a hired servant, but he was his son. He would always be that. And that's good news for us to hear. And that there's hope out there for those who are struggling, those affected. And that's the overall message of what we do at Integrity Restored.
Tremendous, Father. I would imagine, not having seen one of your presentations yet, I would imagine that some of your discussion must center around the phone, because the phone is something that is so prevalent in what we take with us all the time. And I can say myself, just looking at social media, that, you know, images come up sometimes that you need to scroll past, and that I would imagine that it's a slippery slope for folks to get caught into that, especially when they bring that phone with them and it's such a big part of their life. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, again, you know, it's become such a part of our culture.
Right.
You're talking about trauma that people experience, triggers mm-hmm. that the phone can cause, and things like, you know, YouTube and social media and stuff like that. The other thing that you have mixed in there is clickbait, which yeah. you sort of described, you know, with what comes up between browsers and that. And it just, it keeps going more and more. This is all of those things. But here's the other thing. One of the things we talk about when you get into devices, we talk about accountability, and also not only accountability for adults, but also protection for children. Well, I'm sure we'll get into this later, but back in November, I had the blessing of going over to Ireland, representing Integrity Restored, where we did a 12-part series through Shalom World. And we're coming up. It airs every Friday night Eastern Standard Time at 9:30 p.m. on Shalom World, and I think we're coming up on episode 4 or 5. And it's just been incredible the work we were able to do there. But one of the things that they asked me about, you know, phones and, you know, digital privacy, and I said, what we have to do is not afford our children digital privacy. We have to afford our children digital security. And that means that parents need to be responsible with their child's devices, especially in making sure that they're locked down against threats like pornography. You know, I said when I was a child growing up, when you were in the store, you know, as a little child, and you started to fuss in the stroller or in the cart. You got the pacifier when you were young enough. You maybe get a book or a toy, something to keep your attention, or you just got the look from your mother that meant be quiet right now. But now, all of a sudden, the new pacifier is the phone. And here's the thing. The industry of pornography, which is $33 billion U.S. only per year and over $100 billion worldwide per year, that industry is reinvesting its profits into marketing, basically. And they're going and putting things into that clickbait and into those ads to be able to get people to say, ooh, blink, blink. And again, from child all the way to the eldest among us and everyone in between, blink, blink, I'm going to click on that. And then they find themselves maybe not at the first click, but three clicks down the line, they're looking at full outright pornography. And those moments, again, for a child, an adult, whoever, it causes a certain reaction in the brain. It has a certain effect on the body. And you can have the seed of a very, very deep-rooted problem that, yes, can be healed and fixed. But it's one of those things of we're in a world now where we know enough to know that it can also be prevented. And that's where parental responsibility and education is so very, very important, especially when it comes to devices. And also for us as adults, knowing what our limits and our triggers are, that we need to know, yes, when it's late at night and I've had a really stressful day or I'm really tired after a long day, you know what? YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, not the place for me to go, because while I may be resolute in going in there and saying I'm not going to look at porn, all it may take for a certain individual is for them to see a lightly clad person, and that immediately is going to take them, well, I've already gotten this far down the road, I'm going to rationalize and I might as well just keep going down the road because I'm already gone, and they find themselves looking all the way at porn. So we talk a lot about rituals and cycles and all that different kind of stuff, but the phone has definitely the accessibility. We talk about the five A's that makes pornography the drug of choice in 2024. And one of the first ones is its accessibility, because it's everywhere. You know, you have to go and you have to find a drug dealer. You have to, you know, pay for the drugs. You have to go to a liquor store. You have to pay for the liquor if you're an alcoholic, you know, in that sense. But with this, you just have to pick up your phone and it's right there and it's free and you can do whatever you want. You know, the anonymity that's involved in it, all of those things, the accepted nature in our world in which we live, the aggressiveness, because that's the other thing when we work with those in the neurobiology and psychological world, this stuff is highly addictive. And we're starting to get the short-term brain mapping and studies, but it's going to be one of those things. Are we going to wait, as we've done with other things in this world, say, for instance, smoking, wait too long? Too many people have lost, whether it's their life or their marriage or their just self-identification of who they are as a human being. Are we going to wait for all of that to mount up because of this issue? Or are we going to get it on early to say, this is a real problem that is destroying individuals, marriages, families in the world in which we live?
And just having heard some psychologists speak about this topic, as I understand it, it can even repeated use of pornography will eventually change the brain chemistry in your mind. And it really is an addiction that needs to be dealt with just like any other addiction and requires some counseling. So I would imagine that's got to be a piece of this ministry as well, finding the right resources for folks who need.
Yeah, when we go out, one of the things that we do is Dr. Kloponis, he speaks from the neurobiological and the psychological side. And we get into, you know, all of the realities of what happens, you know, especially with, I believe it's the brain plasticity, you know, of its ability that when a child is or a person's younger, it can be reformatted in a way. But the older and older you get with anything, it's harder to reformat the brain. And we talk about those brain chemicals like dopamine and oxytocin. You know, I just did on Integrity Restored, we do a weekly podcast. And we're just hitting number 200, actually. It's really exciting.
Wow.
And a couple weeks ago, we just got to, I did one on my own. Our executive director, who usually hosts, was on a special assignment. And I did one called the Conjugal Commandments. because one of the things that's happening is the conjugal act between that's meant for a husband and wife is getting so removed from husband and wife and just being, you know, committed in the use of human beings and pleasure and all of these things, that one of the things that's missing is the way that the conjugal act is supposed to work between a man and a woman. And for instance, with oxytocin, it is supposed to be that it's that closeness. It breeds that connectedness with a person. Well, when you're by yourself and you think that you're having something fulfilled by what's on a screen, you're really not. And so what happens after all of the actions associated with viewing pornography, when there's that chemical dump, it has a very, very destructive effect on the brain and on a person as a whole.
Wow. Well, on a brighter note, I would imagine that you, you've had some tremendous success stories having done this for a little while. Can you, what are some of the ways in which you've heard that your program has changed lives? And can you share anything with us?
Yeah, it's good. I'm glad that you brought that up, because one of the things that we look to balance at, especially when we go out and talk about this issue of pornography, is, and again, the church can sometimes get accused of this, you know, the church is always against the bad, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong, all right. Of those things. And the church does have a responsibility to say, yes, this is wrong. But while we're against the bad, we also need to be about the good. And that is where we talk about hope and healing. And we have seen that. There are a number of people who are in recovery. There are a number of people who no longer feel shame. And they understand that shame is not of the Lord, but shame is of the evil one. And that becomes a big breakthrough for them to be able to commit to their plan of recovery. Dr. Kloponis, before COVID, he was a practice of basically himself. He was in a practice that was handling a number of different issues on a psychological level with a partner. But then he started and focused just on this issue with pornography. His practice is up to 7 therapists right now, and he's looking for more. So if there are people out there that are interested in doing the work of the healing and helping people who are struggling with this, Integrity Counseling Services, which is located down in King of Prussia, they do telehealth. I can't speak enough about the work that Dr. Kloponis and his team are doing, and his commitment. He's a great man of faith, and one of the things that, you know, is a really neat hallmark. He, as the one who's leading the practice, he always does the intakes for every single person. And he's constantly getting calls of people, you know, wanting to, you know, come, and finally they're getting the courage to speak up and to get the help that they need. We're doing the healing of families. We're helping young children who are convinced and convicted about certain aspects about their sexuality and who they are that aren't true, but they've been distorted because of their trauma point with pornography, or just because they've seen it in some point in their life. And so it's been really beautiful to see the progress that has been made. So there are a number of different stories of success, again, from young to old. And the neat thing that we get to do too is we go around and we do clergy intensives. And it's really exciting because we used to do the clergy intensives that just used to be in person. But we put the work in back in 2023, and we're going to be coming out with a new program called 3 Pillars of Purity. And it is an online training program for clergy that we're offering through Integrity Restore, to be able to, if a guy can't travel to where we're hosting an in-person intensive, he can go because of his busy schedule as a priest and pace himself to be able to get all of the information I present on the church's side, but also all of the information Dr. Kloponis presents on the reality of, you know, the psychological and neurobiological, and be equipped for that. Because ground zero for touch points with this many times, especially within the church, is sacramental confession. And so I also go out and do clergy conferences for their convocations. I was very blessed this past fall. Bishop Schlert actually asked me to be one of the main presenters for our clergy convocation, which, again, that whole thing from the scripture, our Lord even says a prophet is welcomed except for in his own native place. Now, exactly. I will say that was not the case amongst my brothers. My brothers were absolutely affirming and very welcoming, and And it was really neat to see all of the great synergy that happened because of the presentation. But I think the other part of this is that Bishop Schlert, because of his leadership, we have a diocesan commission called the Lumen Christi Commission that is just focused on this issue of pornography outside of my work that I do on now an international level with Integrity Restored. So it's really neat to be able to see that we're impacting all of these different touch points, and we're making sure we're equipping our priests, we're equipping our parents, we're equipping our schools, and just general people, because again, this does not discriminate young, old, male, female. That's another thing that's changing. Everybody thought for a long time that pornography was a male issue. It's growing in women. So we continue to see the marriages transformed, the individual lives transformed, people who thought that they could never be in a relationship because they were unlovable because of the shame that they felt because of pornography. And we're getting them to the point of seeing who they are, beloved sons, beloved daughters of the Father, who are worthy of love and who deserve love, and they get invested in their plan of recovery and they're on the right track. So it's been really, really neat to see that restorative process within all of this as well.
It's beautiful. I'm sure when you spoke with your brother priests and then other priests, like you said, they hear it in the confessional. They can see it in their, they can see it affecting families in their parish. And so I'm sure they're grateful for the help and the support and the resources that your organization brings. I would imagine also that the, as you say, the need for counselors in this area is growing. Your one of your partners there needs more resources there. Are you finding that the demand for this ministry is growing, that the workload and the requests coming in for your services have increased?
It's getting there, but very slowly. So people are getting to the point where on that confidential level, when it comes to, for instance, going to see a clinician, we're seeing more and more happening there. Also, one of the things we talk about is betrayal trauma, which is usually felt by a significant other, a spouse, or even parents when their child or their significant other or their spouse is using pornography. And sure. So we've partnered with a lot of great groups, one of whom is You Were Made New Ministries. They're actually located down in the Phoenixville area. And Dee Yarrison down there does some amazing work. And she and her sister, Laura Ercolino, we have them work with Bloom for Catholic Women, which is a betrayal trauma platform that we host through Integrity Restored. And they also have Hope's Garden, which is trauma healing retreats that they do, and all different type of aspects of prayer to be able to help women who are struggling with that betrayal trauma. So it's been really neat to see all of the different things that we can equip people with to be able to help them. But a lot of people, they gravitate towards that one-to-one thing, but we still just haven't broken through as much as we would want, where people are willing to get up and have a voice and take a stand and say, enough is enough. And I think, you know, with persistence and patience and the Lord blessing the work, we're going to get there. But it's one of those things of the longer and longer we wait, the more and more this is just corrupting in the darkness and in the silence. And so the quicker we can get to people standing up and saying, no, this is a problem, we need the psychological community to get on the right page. You know, when you look at the two sort of different coding systems, you have the what comes from the DSM-5, and then you also have, I think it's the ICF, the international coding system. The international coding system is a little bit ahead of where the DSM is in terms of its definitions and its being definitive about the problem of pornography. But we're getting there. So there's a big hope that when the DSM-6 comes out, that we're going to have a lot more, the medical community, the psychological community is going to be much more on the same page about this and start to call it out for what it is.
We are very fortunate to have such a supportive shepherd and supportive brother priests in our diocese to support you in this ministry. And I'm sure over time, you know, I would imagine also for some folks, they shy away from it because there's that stain of addiction, that embarrassment, or maybe it's just an awkward topic that they don't want to touch. I wonder, Father, you know, if somebody were listening to this podcast and maybe they themselves are struggling with an addiction to pornography, or maybe they have a loved one who they suspect might be struggling, how would you approach that? What advice or guidance would you give to them?
One of the biggest things that I've found is just sharing people with the, with people the simple truth. A secret loses its power when it's no longer a secret. Satan loses his power when we declare victory in Christ Jesus, when we declare the power of Christ Jesus over his evil. And I think that that is one of the, there's help out there for anyone listening. If you are struggling with an addiction, or you're not sure if there's an addiction, you have a significant habit or a use disorder when it comes to this issue of pornography, or you've just seen it and you still have a residual effect because you've even seen it once. I share with you this phone number, 610-207-3441. I've shared that nationally, internationally, and I'm happy to share it with you. That's my cell phone number, Jim. I have shared here, there, and everywhere if people need help. I never shy away from that fact. No one's ever misused it. And I'm happy to share it. Also, ahoffa@allentowndiocese.org or frhoffa@integrityrestored.com. Those are all ways to reach out. And again, it's that one-to-one. It's confidential. No one's going to go and blare it from the mountaintops. But a lot of times for people, it's that first step of advocacy for reaching out to someone and saying, I have a problem. And to know that the church is not going to reject you, that people who have the means to be able to help you are not going to send you away. They're going to help you open that door to a plethora of resources and tools to be able to help a person continue on the road to wholeness by working on the healing process that is connected to this issue of pornography.
We'll make sure we put links in the show notes of this episode to you and to Integrity Restored. Father, if there are pastors or bishops or others who might want to get involved with Integrity Restored, maybe you could just tell us real quick if there's any other services that you haven't mentioned yet that your organization offers.
Yeah, I think the big thing is education. And so whether it's at a clergy conference, whether it's at, I had the blessing also this past fall to speak to all of our principals of all of our diocesan schools, information shared with the directors of religious education. When we look at things on a diocesan level from what we do with the Lumen Christi Commission, it's every level. It's making sure that we're educating people because let's face it, you know, take for instance our schools. You have a lot of teachers who are between the age of 22 and 40. I'm 40 years old. And so when I think about those teachers, for a number of them, the reality of pornography when they were growing up, it was the norm. It was accepted. It's fine. This is what people do. And when a child asks a question, for instance, in school about this issue, they may not be equipped. And so education is one of the things that, you know, and in connection to that, prevention is something that we're very much dedicated to. We're not just there, while it is a large part of what we do for the intervention aspect and the healing, the education and prevention part is also very, very important because we need to be doing all of it at the same time. And so as we encounter people who are struggling with this, and as a bishop, you know, hears from his priest or his priest hear from his parishioners, or if it's a person who is in a school setting or in any type of ministry leadership, and you hear about someone struggle with pornography, again, the proof is all there. This is a massive, massive issue. The first age of exposure, the average age of first exposure for pornography is between 8 and 9 years old. Oh, wow. The statistics are 12 to 17 year olds are the biggest users of pornography on the internet. People are using it at work. People are using it at home. People are using it to learn how to have sexual intercourse with their spouse. It is so infested. And again, I'm not using this to bring fear. It's sure. The truth that everybody knows this is, people know that this is a problem, but sometimes they sit there and say, well, what do we do about it? Or as we got, there was someone who we were getting in touch with who was going to have us come to where they are. And someone in leadership said, we can't have you come because it would be scandalous for our people. And I thought to myself, I think what's scandalous is when we do nothing. What's scandalous is when we allow this to live in the silence. What's scandalous is when we continue to allow our young, our middle-aged, and our elderly to continue to fall to this evil, and it affects all of them. And even to the issue of clergy, and of religious. This does not discriminate. You don't get a you don't get a suit of armor against this just because you've committed yourself to the Lord. If anything, Satan's going to go and dangle that carrot before the horse even more to make sure that he destroys the clergy and he destroys the religious. And so we all need to be vigilant. We need to make this something that it's okay to talk about, especially if a person has a problem. And what we do at Integrity Restored is provide all of those different training facets to be able to allow people to use that. And to use us in such a way, whether it's, again, setting up a diocesan commission or setting up a diocesan plan, I can come to the diocese and do that. If it's training the priest, training the other people, we have been blessed. Or it could be within the context of means of communication within a diocese or even within a parish of whatever they know works best for them. We'll do it because, again, the truth is there. We have the content. We have the understanding. We have the multiple modes, whether it's doing a parish mission like I did down in Texas, or it's going and doing a clergy convocation of when the bishop convenes his priests. We have all of the tools and means to be able to do that.
Well, I think as you say, you know, Satan does his best work in the silence and when we ignore situations. So, and as we're in the season of Lent, as we drop this podcast, somebody may be listening to it after Lent, but we are in the season of Lent, and it would seem that, you know, if somebody is listening to this and they're struggling with this in their own life, that, you know, the sacrament of reconciliation might be the first place to begin to confess and to get this, you know, off your chest and to seek forgiveness. And the second place might be to pick up one of the links in our podcast and contact you, Father, or contact the organization to get more information and get some help. But I want to thank you, Father, for being on the podcast today. Any final thoughts or ways in which people can connect with you? I'll certainly put all your contact information in the show notes.
Yeah, I would just want to go back to the blessing that I had to go over to Ireland. And I do this because, you know, we're blessed. You know, we know that the political landscape in the United States is rough and everybody has, you know, their sides and all that kind of stuff. But we sometimes, because of that, we don't count our blessings in what we have in terms of national organizations that help us, especially in areas of health and stuff. Again, people can have differences of opinion and stuff like that, but we have stuff. We have trained professionals and massive bodies within the United States to be able to help us when it comes to all different types of situations. When the people from Ireland contacted me for their needs over in Ireland, it was because over there, they don't have the national organizations as much as we do here in the United States. And what do they look to? They look to organizations like the WHO. And when you go and you look at the framework for especially teaching children about their sexuality, it is an abomination. And over in Ireland, this is what they're doing. And they're justifying using pornography to teach children in what they call a responsible way about their sexuality. It's absolutely absurd. We think about all the things that we're fighting now, maybe in, you know, different, what people feel should it be happening in their school districts, all that kind of stuff. But this is going on across the pond in, you know, again, Ireland is not a third world country. They're a developed country, and this is happening over there. And so they had me come over, and we were blessed to be hosted by Shalom World, who's producing this 12-part series. And I would really encourage you to go because we had the best. We had clinicians. We had people doing psychological clinician work, but also psychiatric research, priests involved in moral theology. I was there. It was absolutely phenomenal. And we break this down over the course of about 25-minute segments on Shalom World. They're an internet-based Catholic TV site, and they have an app and all that kind of stuff, but YouTube as well. Really go there. It's some of the best work that we've done. I'm on social media too. We share this stuff out, Integrity Restored. And here's the thing. Don't trust in the fact that we're going to be able to get our message out through our means of communication, because I will tell you this, when I was down in Texas and the first night that we had the mission, again, I don't mess around. We talk about real facts and we use real language. And during we live streamed it. And during it, they tried to take me down. They tried to get me on copyright, which again, all of this is original content that we just used from Culling Research and that we've used within Integrity Restored within our ministry. And they tried to shut me down that night. Now, we were able to avoid it and continued it going, but it took a week and a half for us to be able to write to them and to contest the fact that they were saying 46 seconds. Well, all that is between the algorithms. I can go on the internet and I can share through my social media. I think I'm close to 4,000 followers on or friends on Facebook. I can go and share something on Facebook about, you know, the fact that it was someone's birthday and happy birthday, and I will get 300 likes and I'll get, you know, 65 comments and all this kind of stuff. I go and share sometimes stuff about Integrity Restored or this issue of pornography, and I won't get a single like. Now, some of that is people and their fear that if they go and like something about porn that we're posting, that everybody's going to think they have a porn problem, which that's not what that means. It means that you care about people and you want them to get educated. But the other side, too, is that the algorithms on this social media, they want to shut down those who are going to go and spread the truth. And so that's why even more and more the word of mouth and the people having the truth and sharing it with their family members, with their friends, with the people that they care about within the context of their parish and ways we can be a part of that. That's what's most important. So continue to get educated and continue to share the truth. And we're going to continue to chop down all of this different stuff that's affecting everyone, families, individuals, all that. And the last thing is make the connections. One of the big things is we hear a lot in the world in which we live today about all the things that are going on down at the southern border. And one of the biggest concerns is human trafficking, child trafficking, sex trafficking. I'm going to tell you this, Jim. If we were to cut the head off of the pornography industry, the demand for human trafficking, child trafficking, sex trafficking is going to be depleted significantly, because that's all of that trafficking that's going on. A large part of it is not so that people can have servant slaves in their homes. It's so that they can make money off of using people's bodies as objects and distorting the gift of their human sexuality. But we bring that up to a person who says, you know, human trafficking is wrong. Stop the porn industry. No. I'm not going to get into that. Well, then either we're committed to stopping things like human rights violations or we're not. And that's where all of these things that are connected marriages to, you know, over half of the cases in tribunals that they're facing with annulments in dioceses across the United States, over half of them have as a core issue pornography that was present in the marriage. So there's so many things I could go on for days and days and days. We do it for days and days and days. But I really thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to come and talk with you today and to spread this message, because there is good news, there is hope, and there is healing for everybody that's out there.
Oh, what a great note to end it on, Father. And I'm so grateful for you, we all are, for what you're doing, for championing this very difficult and underspoken of issue in our society today. And we will spread the news far and wide on this podcast and make sure that everybody hears about it. So thanks again for joining us, Father. It's great to be with you.
Thanks, Jim.
God bless.
Well, that's our show this week. I want to thank you, our listeners, for joining me on today's show. I hope you found this conversation valuable and that it has in some way inspired you to take action to advance the mission of our church. And if this is your first time listening to Advancing Our Church, I hope you're going to stick around and subscribe. You can find us on all places where you download your favorite podcasts. You can find us on YouTube. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And for more information about our show, please visit us at AdvancingOurChurch.com. Well, that's it for me, everybody. I hope you're having a terrific week. We'll see you next time. Take care and God bless.